This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the April 12, 2024 edition of The Week Junior, and we will start with the week's big news. The first article is Baltimore Bridge Collapse Investigated. On March 26, a massive cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, causing the structure to collapse and shutting down one of the nation's largest ports. Cleanup and investigation into the cause of the incident are ongoing. What happened? Early in the morning of March 26, a ship named the Dolly was heading through the port of Baltimore over the Patapsco River. The ship is 984 feet long and 157 feet wide, nearly the size of the Eiffel Tower, and was carrying 4,700 shipping containers on its way to Sri Lanka. At 1:24 a.m., the ship's power suddenly went out, causing its engines to shut down and its steering to fail. The ship was traveling at about 9 miles per hour, and the crew was unable to stop it or steer it away from the metal bridge. At 1:29 a.m., the Dolly plowed into the bridge's concrete support piers with what scientists called the force of a rocket launch. The bridge immediately collapsed, pinning the ship in the wreckage. There were 8 construction workers on the bridge at the time of the crash. 2 were rescued after they fell into the water, and 6 died. The 24 crew members aboard the ship were not injured. Why did the crash happen? The cause of the power outage is still unknown. Shipping experts said issues including electrical problems, computer failure, bad fuel, or human error could be to blame. Investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, said it will take years to know for sure. Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland, said the 1.6-mile-long bridge had been maintained properly and the collapse was likely not due to structural problems. What effect did the crash have? The 47-year-old, 185-foot-high bridge is part of Interstate 695, a busy highway, and its collapse means that the 35 million vehicles that cross it every year must find another route. Drivers can use 2 tunnels to pass through Baltimore, but traffic has been slow and heavy since the bridge collapse. Debris from the bridge is also blocking the shipping channel, leaving about a dozen cargo ships stranded in port and preventing others from entering. The port provides about 15,000 jobs and generates $4.7 billion a year for Maryland. Experts said some goods can be moved by trucks with added time and expense. That means farmers and business owners around the country will face delays in getting the supplies they need. How did people help? Within moments of the ship's power outage, the pilots sent out a distress call, giving police officers on both sides of the bridge time to shut it down. This kept 25 to 30 cars from being on the bridge at the time of the collapse, likely saving many lives. A massive cleanup effort is now underway. Dive teams facing strong river currents, downed electrical wires, and poor visibility are cutting up large sections of the wreckage underwater. A crane capable of lifting 1,000 tons is removing those pieces. Crews have removed 200 tons of debris from the scene so far. The U.S. Department of Transportation said it would send $60 million in emergency funding. President Joe Biden said the U.S. government will cover the cost of rebuilding. What will happen next? Cleanup is expected to take several months. When the Week Junior went to press, officials had opened the first of 3 planned temporary shipping lanes so some ships in the port can leave. As the investigation continues, the NTSB is gathering the Dolly's data and interviewing crew members who have remained on board to watch over the ship and help with recovery efforts. They are safe and have food, water, and other supplies. The remains of the bridge will be inspected so officials can determine whether it's structurally sound before rebuilding begins. Rebuilding is expected to take several years and cost hundreds of millions of dollars. The information bubble is Fact File. Baltimore is a city in northern Maryland that was established in 1729 and now has a population of more than 620,000. And the sidebar is Bridge's namesake. Francis Scott Key was born in Maryland in 1779. He was a lawyer who wrote a poem about a battle he saw during the War of 1812. It was later set to music and called the Star-Spangled Banner, which became the national anthem in 1931. The bridge was built in 1977 near the spot where Key watched the fighting. Next, there was an historic win in Senegal election. In a surprise outcome, political newcomer Bassirou Diomaye Faye, age 44, was elected president of Senegal on March 24th. This was Faye's first major race. He's the youngest president ever for the West African country of 18 million people. Faye studied law and was a tax inspector. His only previous political experience was in 2022 run for mayor of his hometown, which he lost. He was sentenced to 10 months in prison last year for criticizing Senegal's government and was released 10 days before the presidential election. His success is due in part to the support of a popular opposition leader in the country who has also stood up to the government. Both men have the support of millions of Senegal's young people. Faye's campaign promises, which included economic reform and fighting corruption, which is using a position of power for personal or political gain, appealed to young people. He won with more than 54% of the vote and was sworn in on April 2. "I pledge to govern with humility and transparency and to fight corruption at all levels," he said. The word of the week this week is PET, P-E-T. The word PET comes from Scottish Gaelic, a language spoken mainly in the highlands of western Scotland. The word pieta meant a tame animal. The first meanings of pet in English were a hand-reared lamb or a spoiled child. But by the early 18th century, the word was being used for any domestic or tamed animal that provided pleasure and companionship. This week in history, on April 7, 1940, Booker T. Washington, who lived from 1856 to 1915, became the first black person depicted on a U.S. postage stamp. Washington, who was born enslaved, became a leading educator, author, and advisor to U.S. presidents. He was the first principal of an Alabama school for black teachers, now named Tuskegee University. The 10-cent stamp honoring him was part of the 1940 Famous American series. The animals in the environment section is all about pets. Pets are good for our mental health. April 11 is National Pet Day, celebrating the animal companions that have brought joy to families across America. As many pet owners know, pets can brighten a person's day and even provide comfort in tough times. Now, a survey has confirmed that owning pets provides mental health benefits. The new survey was led by the American Psychiatric Association, or APA, and the American Veterinary Medical Association, AVMA. More than 2,000 American adults were polled on their attitudes towards pets. Of these adults, 72% said they had pets. Dogs were the most common type of animal, followed by cats. Among pet owners, 84% said their animal companions had mostly positive effect on their mental health. About 64% of pet owners said their pets provide unconditional love and support, while 62% of respondents said their pets provide a calming presence and reduce stress and anxiety. Dog and cat owners were especially likely to say their animals were good for their mental health. As veterinarians, we witness firsthand the powerful bond between people and their animals and the positive impact pets can have on their emotional well-being, said Rena Carlson, president of the AVMA. From offering companionship and unconditional love to reducing stress and anxiety, pets can be invaluable sources of comfort and support. However, pets can also be a source of anxiety to owners, particularly when it comes to the animal's health. More than half of pet owners were worried about their pets having health problems, growing older, or passing away. Many respondents also struggled with arranging pet care when they traveled. Still, other research supports the idea that being around animals is good for a person's mental health. For instance, a recent study in South Korea found that playing with a dog made people feel more relaxed and improve their concentration. There's also evidence that interacting with animals can lower a person's level of cortisol, a hormone, which is a chemical that occurs naturally in the body, associated with stress. "It's easy to overlook the role of pets when we're talking about mental health," said APA President Petros Louvounis. "But for people who do enjoy the company of animals, they can be a source of companionship, comfort, love, and friendship." And the information bubble is, did you know? National Pet Day was founded by an animal welfare advocate, and first held in 2006. The sidebar is another way dogs help. Research has proven that exercise has physical health benefits for both people and animals, and pet dogs have been found to have a positive impact on their owner's health, mostly because they motivate people to get regular exercise. A recent study by researchers in Australia underscores this. It found that having a dog led children to be more active because they walked and played with their pet. In particular, girls who had a dog in their household exercised 52 more minutes per day than those who didn't. Next, top pet names in the U.S. revealed. For pet parents, as with any parent, choosing the right name can seem like a big responsibility. The pet care company Rover recently surveyed U.S. dog and cat owners and found the most popular pet names used in 2023. Rover used data from millions of its online users to determine which pet names are favored across the country. The most popular names for dogs were Charlie, Max, and Cooper for males, and Luna, Bella, and Daisy for females. For feline friends, Oliver, Milo, and Leo were tops among males, while Luna, Bella, and Lily were top three for females. Lucy came in fourth on the list for both female dogs and female cats. Rover also analyzed new trends to identify which names have been growing in popularity. The top trending names for dogs were Kelsey, Wednesday, and Oak, while cat owners are increasingly using the names Norbert, Soju, and Snoop. Although these names are spiking in popularity, they have not yet reached the top list for most used choices. And the information bubble is wow. About 86.9 million American families, 66% of U.S. households, own at least one pet. And the sidebar is pet questions answered. How should a family decide which pet is right for them? Discuss your goals for having a pet. Some animals make great snuggle buddies, and others are more independent observers. Some animals can freely roam in the home, while others need special environments. Think about what your pet needs to live a long, happy, healthy life. How much entertainment, food, and cleaning will it need? Consider the pet's sleep cycle. Did you know hedgehogs are nocturnal, which means they're active at night? You and your family can decide what pet will be a good fit for your home. How can kids create better relationships with their pets? Some of the ways humans express love, like hugging and kissing, may not be as comfortable for many pets. It can help to watch their body language and give them space when they need it and affection when they want it. For dogs, enrolling in socialization and training classes together can be a great way to bond. For cats, using toys to play with them and training them to do simple exercises like sitting and touching your hand with their paw can be bonding opportunities. How can families help multiple pets get along? Plan a slow introduction so neither pet feels overwhelmed or crowded. If pets are competing for food, beds, or toys, feed them separately and make sure there's plenty to go around. Try to give pets treats or affection when they are interacting calmly so they start to see the other pet as a good thing, and avoid punishing pets if they are not getting along. Pets who have never had a housemate before can learn to love, or at least tolerate, another pet. The special section is all about the U.S. Mint, America's story told through coins. Since the late 1700s, the United States Mint has made the coins that circulate throughout the nation. Discover how they have evolved over time. Establishing the Mint. In colonial America, before there was a national currency, goods were purchased with colonial or foreign money or with animals or plants. During the early years of American independence, states were allowed to create their own money. This caused problems because the same coins had different values from state to state. Congress created the U.S. Mint with the passage of the Coinage Act on April 2, 1792. The first mint in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, released its first circulating coins in March 1793. Famous faces. The mint's coins were made of copper, silver, and gold and ranged in value from a copper half cent to a $10 gold coin. Half-cent coins went out of circulation in 1857, and all coins with values over a dollar were discontinued by 1933. How coins are made. As part of the Department of Treasury, the U.S. Mint gets its authority from Congress. New coins have to be approved by Congress and the U.S. President. Once approved, an artist draws the design for the coin. At mint facilities, the design is transferred to metal stamps called dies, while machines cut blank metal discs from long sheets of metal. The blank discs are cleaned, and a special machine raises the rim around them. Then the dies press a design into the discs. After the new coins are made, they are first sent to banks overseen by the Federal Reserve, which is the U.S. central banking system, then to regular banks to go into circulation. They stay in circulation for about 30 years. The U.S. Mint makes more than 10 billion coins a year, but more than 80% of coins in circulation were made in previous years. The modern mint. Today, the Mint's six facilities make four primary kinds of coins: pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. There is debate over whether the penny should continue to be produced, since it costs more to make, over 2 cents, than it is worth. But production continues for now. The Mint also makes special versions of coin, which many people enjoy collecting. Examples of these coins include state quarters and quarters celebrating notable American women. In addition to the four primary coins in circulation, the Mint makes half-dollar and gold-dollar coins that can be used as money, but are mainly intended for coin collections. It also makes special commemorative coins and medals to honor significant people, places, and events in U.S. history. The information bubbles are, did you know? The Bureau of Engraving and Printing, founded in 1862, makes U.S. paper money. And historic hires. The U.S. Mint was the first federal agency to employ women, hiring Sarah Waldrake and Rachel Summers in 1795. And the third, shiny objects. The nation's largest collection of coins is on exhibit at Smithsonian's National Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. And the sidebar is special coins. The Mint makes a limited number of commemorative coins to sell. The money raised goes towards special projects, such as maintaining national monuments. Here are three recent examples of commemorative coins. Harriet Tubman. This coin honors the 200th anniversary of the birth of Harriet Tubman, a former slave and an activist in the Underground Railroad, a secret network that helped other enslaved people. Greatest Generation. Americans who lived throughout World War II, which ran from 1939 to 1945, are often referred to as the Greatest Generation. This coin is part of a series honoring their service. Negro Leagues Baseball. The Negro National League was the first successful U.S. pro baseball league for black players. This coin honors founder Rube Foster on one side and depicts the tipping of one's cap, a sign of respect. In science and technology, a drug may help serious food allergies. For children who have severe food allergies, a drug called Xolair may be an effective therapy for reducing the severity of allergic reactions, a new study found. About 1 in 13 children in the U.S. have food allergies, some of which can be life-threatening. Among the most common allergens are milk, eggs, and peanuts. There aren't many preventative treatments for food allergies right now. Xolair has been used for years to treat asthma. In this new study, it was tested on patients who had an allergic reaction to 100 milligrams or less of a peanut substance and 300 milligrams or less of at least two other foods. The patients received regular injections of Xolair for 16 to 20 weeks. After receiving the treatment, about two-thirds of people in the study were able to receive a 600 milligram dose of the peanut substance without serious symptoms. About two-thirds of patients were able to receive 1,000 milligram doses of eggs and milk without serious symptoms, and more than 40% were able to receive a 1,000 milligram dose of cashews without serious symptoms. While the results are promising, Xolair has to be administered every 2 to 4 weeks through a shot, and experts warn that severe or even deadly reactions to allergy-causing foods are still possible on Xolair, so people with food allergies should still be careful about what they eat. The information bubble is fast facts. In the U.S., about 33 million people have food allergies, including 5.6 million people under age 18. In sports, the NWSL returns, adding two teams. The 2024 National Women's Soccer League, NWSL, season kicked off on March 16. This year, the league has expanded to include Bay FC and the Utah Royals. Bay FC, which is based in San Jose, California, was co-founded by four former players from the U.S. Women's National Team, USWNT. The Royals, which play in Sandy, Utah, have been part of the NWSL from 2018 to 2020, but later became the Kansas City Current. A group of different owners started the new team. New York, New Jersey, Gotham FC are the reigning NWSL champion. During the preseason Challenge Cup on March 15, they faced the San Diego Wave, who had the best regular season record in 2023. The Wave won 1-0 on a late goal by Alex Morgan. Gotham went on to beat the Portland Thorns 1-0 in their season opener on March 24, but lost to the North Carolina Courage by the same score on March 30th. Most NWSL teams have played three regular season matches. The Current are in first place and the only unbeaten team in the league. On March 30, they defeated Angel City FC 4-2. Also that day, Bay FC hosted the Houston Dash for their sold-out home opener in front of a crowd of 18,000. It was a thrilling match that Bay FC's Rachel Kundanji tied up 2-2 during stoppage time in the second half. She made history as the first player from Zambia to play and score in an NWSL match. 7 minutes later, Havana Sulan scored for Houston, which put her team up 3-2 to secure the win. Bay FC has a record of 1-2-0, as do the Royals, who lost to Washington Spirit 2-1 on March 31. And now an exciting MLB opening weekend. March 28 was the opening day for the 2024 season of Major League Baseball, or MLB. All 30 teams had been scheduled to play, but two games were rained out. The stars of opening weekend were the New York Yankees and Pittsburgh Pirates, who were unbeaten in their first four games. The Texas Rangers, who won their first World Series in 2023, are hoping to have an equally successful season and become the first back-to-back MLB champions since 2000. The Houston Astros, Yankees, Atlanta Braves, and Los Angeles Dodgers are also expected to be top teams. The Dodgers roster now includes superstar pitcher and hitter Shohei Ohtani. He played for the Los Angeles Angels for 5 seasons and has won the two Most Valuable Player awards. The Dodgers' regular season kicked off early this year with a 2-game series against the San Diego Padres in Seoul, South Korea. It was part of the 2024 MLB World Tour, which will include games in Mexico and England. In Ohtani's Seoul debut on March 20, he had 2 hits and batted in a run in a 5-2 win. In his home debut in March 28, the Dodgers beat the St. Louis Cardinals 7-1, and he reached base 3 times. Another player who stood out on opening day was pitcher Corbin Burnes, who made his debut with the Baltimore Orioles. He had 11 strikeouts and an 11-3 win over the Angels. A team record was set during the Arizona Diamondbacks' 16-1 win over the Colorado Rockies. The Diamondbacks scored 14 runs in the third, the most the team has ever racked up in one inning. The Yankees played the Astros in a 4-game opening series, and new Yankees outfielder Juan Soto, a former San Diego Padres star, made key contributions in each one. In the final game, on March 31, the teams were tied going into the top of the ninth. Soto hit a one-run single that gave the Yankees a 4-3 lead and eventual victory. He had 9 hits and drove in 4 runs in the series. The Pirates' perfect start came with a sweep of the Miami Marlins, while the Detroit Tigers were 3-0 after sweeping the Chicago White Sox. The Rangers began their title defense by beating Chicago Cubs twice in a 3-game series. The information bubble is fun fact. Tyler O'Neill of the Boston Red Sox has hit home runs in 5 straight opening day games, an MLB record. And the MLB rules update is the sidebar. Last season, MLB successfully added a pitch clock to speed up play. New 2024 rules will make games even faster. Among the changes are less time on the pitch clock when runners are on base and a shorter warm-up time for relief pitchers when they enter a game mid-inning. In this week's winners, NCAA basketball. For the first time in March Madness history, two colleges, UConn and NC State, will have their women's and men's team in the Final Four. The women's national semifinal is set for April 5, with the first game featuring NC State, a number 3 seed, making their first appearance in the Final Four since 1998, and the overall top seed, South Carolina, who have not lost once this season. In the second matchup, UConn, a 3 seed, will face Iowa, a 1 seed. On April 1, Iowa beat last year's champions, LSU, 94-87, in an Elite Eight game that was a rematch of the 2023 final. Iowa star Caitlin Clark scored 41 points in the game. The men's semifinal round will be played on April 6. NC State, an 11 seed, will play Purdue, a 1 seed, in the first game. Then UConn, the top seed on a quest to become the first back-to-back NCAA men's champion since 2007, will face Alabama, a 4 seed. We'll finish up with around the world. In Bangkok, Thailand, lawmakers pass marriage bill. By a vote of 400-10, Thailand's House of Representatives has passed a bill making it legal for same-sex couples to marry. The Senate is expected to approve the bill later this year, and the king has indicated he will sign it into law. This would make Thailand the first country in Southeast Asia and the third in all of Asia after Taiwan and Nepal to grant this right. In Ukraine, they are printing a new school. A new school is being built in Ukraine using 3D printing to create space for students who have fled to the western city of Lviv because of the ongoing conflict with Russia. A giant 3D printer was used to build a school with 4 classrooms. The walls were printed in 40 hours. The windows, doors, roof, and interior are not yet complete, but it's hoped that the building will open soon. More schools like it are planned. In Peru, cultural items are recovered. On March 20, the government of Peru announced that 4,600 important historical items had been returned from other countries, including Germany, Italy, and Portugal. The ancient items included pottery, textiles, and clothing. Most of them had been collected by a history expert from the U.S. who died in 2004. Peru's culture minister, Leslie Urtiaga, said the country's cultural legacy is a fundamental pillar of Peruvian identity. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the April 12, 2024 edition of the Week Junior U.S. This is Julianne, and have a great week.